1 Timothy 3, beginning to read at verse 1. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Deacons, likewise, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife, and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So my name's Shane Trind. I think most of you know me. I'm a regular worshipper here at 10:30. So I have a question for you. How can we help Simon be a better leader? Do we send him on a time management course? Do we buy him a copy of All You Ever Wanted to Know About Your To-Do List, but were too afraid to ask? How do we help Simon or Scott or me or any of the preaching and leading team to become better leaders? Do we buy Shane a copy of How to Make Friends and Influence People? Already read it. You couldn't tell, could you? How do we help our leaders to be godly leaders? I'd like to say great leaders, but I wouldn't want to put that pressure on anyone. Well, I can tell you how we can do that, and I will tell you at the end of the sermon. We have a crisis in world leadership. Well, I think we do. I cannot think of a current world leader that I would classify as great. It's not that our leaders lack the skill to get the task done, although that's debatable. It's that they lack the right character to be great leaders. Leadership isn't about getting the task done. Great leaders do far more than that. In God's family, leadership is about character as well as ability. The world looks at the ability and the skills required. God looks at the heart of a person and their character. The bottom line is, how much are they like Jesus? Christian leadership is Christ-centered. Paul writes to Timothy because he is concerned over the leadership in the church at Ephesus. There's a problem with some of its leaders. They are teaching things that are false. They're concentrating on the trivial, things that weren't important. Problems at the top always cause all sorts of difficulties further down the line. That's true in every area of leadership. It's really important to have a clear understanding of what's expected of church leaders. And that's why Paul is writing to Timothy. We all do tasks for different reasons. We might go to work because we love our jobs or we just need the money. We may go above and beyond because we have an eye to promotion or getting that bit of holiday that we've requested. There's plenty of things we do because we love the people we're doing them for, our family, our friends, maybe our neighbours. And some tasks are fairly ordinary and others are special because of who we do them for. Paul describes Christian leadership as a noble task. It's not about personal progression and fulfillment, improving your place in the world. It's about serving Jesus and his people, the church. Jesus instructed the disciple Peter to feed his sheep. It's about being a shepherd to Christ's sheep, caring for them and directing them. Christian leaders are to equip God's people for works of service so that they might be built up. You can't just feed animals anything and expect them to thrive. Now, some of you know we have a new dog called Daisy. We had her last September, and one of her owners very cruelly calls her Crazy Daisy. If we don't feed her properly, she can react badly. She will leave all kinds of presents on our kitchen floor. God's people, Christ's sheep, have to be fed the right things in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. Feeding them truth is essential for the growth of the individual Christian and the church as a family. If Christians aren't fed properly, then they won't grow properly. And if we deviate from the truth that is in Jesus, then we have deviated from being the people God wants us to be. The task of feeding God's people is one for the overseers, which can also be translated elder, which can also be translated bishop, but not of that kind, not of the C of E kind. It's the bishop of a local church, the person who has oversight, responsibility for the spiritual growth of those under their care, feeding and tending the local congregation. And this includes teaching them the truths about Jesus and praying for them and encourage them to serve one another. Deacons, on the other hand, are servants of God's people. They serve the local church in a more hands-on, practical way. And the characteristics that overseers or elders or deacons should have is outlined in the passage. It's not about knowledge or general leadership ability. Character is at the centre of these offices. These characteristics cover the personal, family and public life of the leader. They look at the self-control of the leader, the self-control that they need to have for their task. Now, our dog Daisy is fairly small, but energetic and lacking in self-control. When we first walked her on a lead, it was like trying to walk an eel. She was all over the place. She could have been a danger to herself and others. So, being responsible owners, we took her to training classes. And we started out with a collar and a lead. And we moved on to a harness and a lead. And that worked a bit better. And we ended up with a harness and a double-ended lead, which is effectively two leads for such a small dog. Now, some of our desires may only need one lead to control them. We don't have a problem with them. Others may require a full harness and two leads. Whatever it takes to control our appetites, that's what we need to put in place. Uncontrolled desires are dangerous to the leader and those they care for. Faithfulness to your wife means controlling your sexual urges. Every man knows that this can be a battle. It's something we need to take seriously. We live in a day and age when the sex industry wants to make it as easy as possible for us to have access to its products. The internet has opened up all kinds of opportunities without proper responsibility or controls. There are TV programs which cater to the lowest of standards. It's not just a problem that affects men. Its effects can be devastating to a leader's personal reputation, family life, and the church life. If the leader is found compromised in this area, it can tear a church apart. Please pray for protection for each other and especially our leaders. Extra care needs to be taken in this area. Drink, meaning alcoholic drink, also ruins reputations, family life, and church life. It's a problem area and one that needs to be properly managed. And don't fall into the trap of thinking that this can't be a problem for our leaders. It can. We need to be willing and able to support anybody who struggles with this. Love of money or greed in any area is not a quality that should be seen in a church leader. Our motives are not to be about profit or self-gain of any kind. If we are motivated by money, then Paul, as Paul points out somewhere later on in Timothy, it can become the root of all kinds of evil. A leader must also be gentle and self-controlled, particularly in dealing with others. This doesn't mean that they can't be firm where necessary. Loving and feeding Christ's sheep should always have love as the underlying motive. The leader's character should be one of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's all there in the fruit of the Spirit. That's what it looks like to be a godly leader. Now, our family life can really show us for who we really are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Leaders need to be able to manage their families well. Their children should obey them. This doesn't mean that their children should be perfect or that there won't be difficulties. All parents know how hard it can be to bring up children. It's not about perfection, but about being able to put in place those things for the ordered running of a family. And this needs to be done in a manner that engenders respect, based on love, not fear. Similar skills are needed to manage the family and manage the church. One leads on to the other. And when Paul wrote this letter, the church probably met in the home of a leader, and it may well have been their place of work. A good reputation in their work life is called for. Now, it might be an interesting exercise to write to, say, my colleagues and say, well, Shane's a Christian. Can you tell us what he's like at work? He's a Christian. Really? We may laugh about this, but it could throw up some interesting comments about leaders. People outside the church may see our motives in life more clearly, how we use our time and money. There should be a continuity between the different parts of our lives. We may be different at home, at church, and at work, but those differences ought to be minor. The reputation of leaders matters. I recently read about two Puritan ministers from the past. One who, it was said, could make a friend out of an enemy, and the other who could make an enemy out of his friends. Both of them highly regarded ministers in their preaching and writing. Which would we rather have as our leader? This is an overview of the characteristics required of church leaders. It's not complete, and much more could probably be said, but it was enough to make me stop and think. Should I really be doing this sermon at all? It makes you feel quite inadequate. Maybe I should have just passed this one over to Simon. And then I thought, well, actually, I'm pretty sure Simon would feel pretty inadequate about it all too. And I'm sure there are no leaders really up to this task. If you read your Bibles, you will soon see how many of the leaders of God's people failed in their task. Moses, the greatest leader of God's people in the Old Testament, felt inadequate and failed in his duty many times. So did David, Israel's greatest king. He fell spectacularly through sexual sin. Many other kings, even the godly ones, failed in their duty to lead properly. Peter, leader of the disciples, fell pretty much at the first hurdle, denying Christ three times and then abandoning him on the night he was betrayed. At no time has the church had a perfect leader. Christian leaders struggle against the flesh, the world, and the devil, and these like nothing better than to see them fail. And fail they will if they neglect this one thing. I apologize, it's another dog story. One of the skills we learned in dog training was to get your dog to look at you. The dog should be trained to regularly give you eye contact. So when you're walking them, every so often, they look up at you. This is so when you need to give them a command, they are attentive and receptive. And believe me, it's easier said than done, but it can be done. Every leader of the church must look to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Their eyes have to be on him. Their ears need to be attentive to his commands. They must follow where he goes. They must have that constant daily contact with him. Whenever they realize they've not looked in his direction for a while, they must look to him and make sure that they are where he wants them to be. Whoever wants to be a good leader in the church first has to be a good follower of Jesus. Jesus said that he only did the will of his Father. His appointed leaders in the church are only to do the will of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus. Fail to do this, and they fail as leaders. You can have all the skills required to be a great business leader or politician. They mean nothing if you fail as a Christian leader, if you do not put Jesus at the centre of everything you do. Now, unfortunately, the Bible does talk about bad leaders as well as good. They are bad shepherds who neglect the flock. They wander from the teachings of Christ, and the flock suffers because of it. The church must listen only to the Good Shepherd and flee those who do not teach in accordance with him. Jesus himself is our supreme example of all Christian leaders. He said, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." He is the ultimate leader of all his people, showing through his ministry on earth and his death on the cross how to be a perfect leader through example and sacrifice. He is the good shepherd to whom all the sheep must look and follow. He alone has all these characteristics. You may have noticed in that list, with the possible exception of teaching the scriptures, all the other characteristics on the list of leaders applies to all Christians. Just because you're not a leader doesn't mean you can all ignore these characteristics. They are meant for you as well. That's why each and every Christian needs to be looking to Jesus and be attentive to him. And that would certainly make the leader's task a lot easier. So, how do we help Simon, Scott and the others be better leaders? How can we do that? Well, we get down on our knees and pray for them. Pray that God would bless them with the necessary self-control they need. Pray that he would grow these characteristics in them. Pray that God would make your leaders Christ-centered, attentive to him, walking close to him. And we need to do that as often as we can. Our leaders need it. It's a noble task to lead God's people. Perhaps it's an almost overwhelming task at times. But it brings with it a great assurance to follow the Good Shepherd, to look to Jesus daily, to know that you are standing where he wants you to be. It's a great place to be for a leader. And the leader's prayer will be that the people they lead will also be in that place, looking always to the only true leader, Jesus Christ. And together having that great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.